Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Y'all thought you were about to sit down and watch a movie, didn't you? A bunch of previews going on. Listen, a lot of cool things happening at Church on the Rock this year. A lot of great things. As you saw, Men of Honor is a brand new discipleship program, men, that I just want to encourage you to consider. I encourage you to think about. I'll be honest with you. I don't think all of you are ready, but I think some of you are. I think that when you come and meet me on Friday the 16th and you just hear what it's gonna cost and what it's going to take and what's required, you'll get to make the decision if you're going to go the journey, go the distance with us, walk this 8-month trail or not. And I don't want you to feel bad if you choose not to. I want you to be led by God to do what he might be calling you to do this year. Amen. So think about it. Meet me here if you're interested. And then as you saw, we're going to go to Israel this year, everybody. Yeah, man, I'm pretty excited. It'll be a first time for me ever being in the Holy Land. So I'm pretty pumped up. But if that's something that interests you, put Israel info on that connection card, drop it in the box, and we'll kind of get you in the loop of just all the details. As you can imagine, there's a lot of details. So we'll catch you up with that. But today, everybody, is a big day. As you can see, we've got a 25-foot slide outside. How many of you guys have been down it already? How many of you guys decided, yeah, I'm going down it? I know some of our dream team this morning was racing down and drying it off for us, coincidentally, as they were going down. Pastor Dan said, I was about halfway down when I realized there's a pool of water at the bottom. So thank you, Pastor. So we have a life group launch party that's going to go on today. Afterwards, I want to encourage you, please hang out. I'll meet your small group leader, talk to people, ask some questions, build some relationships. Our hope and desire is that at the end of our day today, you'll have less intimidation about getting involved in a group. I'm hoping that you can say, man, that guy's pretty cool. You know, I think I'll try his group out. Or, you know, you might say, all right, not going to that one. Let me find it. That's fine. We're totally okay. We understand that personalities are different and relationship, you know, are different, but we just want to give you the opportunity to just meet some people and find out if you can hang out with them during the week and grow your relationship with one another and God. Amen? Amen. Amen. But today, we're going to start a brand new sermon series about marriage. How many of you guys are excited about talking about marriage? I know some of you guys are like, yeah, and some of you guys are like, I don't know, brother, I'm a little nervous. Here's what I want to say. Listen, whether your marriage is on the rocks and in trouble or very, very healthy, I think that this series is going to serve you well. Here's what I want to say right out of the gate. There is never, ever a relationship in your life, whether it's a friendship, a marriage, you and a child, there's never a relationship in your life that does not require your attention if you value it. Amen. I got one. Thank you over here. One. Every relationship, if it has value to you, it needs your attention. It needs your investment. It needs your time. Healthy relationships don't happen by accident. They happen on purpose. They happen on purpose. And what I want to talk to you about for the month of February, since we're approaching Valentine's Day, come on, everybody's starting to think about chocolates and flowers and little dates, right? And all that fun stuff that comes with February 14th. We just decide every February, man, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about romance. We're going to talk about real life together, living in a home, living together in marriage. What does that look like? So you ready to dive in, get into what God's word says about marriage? You guys ready? I'm ready. I'm excited. We've got a 4-week series we're going to bring you, but I want to start really just, I want to ask this question. How many of you ladies, I'm going to just talk to the ladies. How many of you growing up, all your life, like when you were a little girl, you thought to yourself, you thought about that perfect wedding day. It was that day, and you thought about the flowers, and you thought about Prince Charming, and you just thought about what it's going to look like in the atmosphere, and you dreamed about how you wrote the last name of the crush you had at the time. Like, does your name fit with the last name and all that stuff, right? And you dreamed about it, and you thought about it. You started naming children before you even had children. You were still a child yourself. Come on, ladies, let me see your hands. How many of you guys had the dream, the big wedding day dream? Yeah, that's right. Men, let me talk to you for a minute. Because we don't think like that. Chances are that you and I didn't sit around thinking about that wedding day, and we weren't trying some girl's last name with our, you know, like the first name with our last name to see if it were like that. That really wasn't our MO. But guys, give me some participation here. How many of you guys thought about marriage and you said, yes, I can't wait to legally have sex twice a day? Come on, come on. Where you at? All right, see? Thank you for being honest. It's exciting. Yes. All right, now I'm going to ask everybody, how many of you are still dreaming? Come on now. Some of you guys are scared to death to raise your hand right now, like, right? I understand. Here's what I want to say. I want to start this way. I believe with all of my heart that marriage can be fun, that it can be enjoyable, that it can be sexy, that it can be attractive, that it can be life-giving. I believe that it can be the pinnacle relationship that you have here on earth. I actually think that marriage can be the most gratifying and successful partnership you'll ever understand with another human being. I really, really believe that. And my heart's desire is to express how we can see that happen in a more real way in our lives today. Because in our world, and you know it, right? I'm not going to give you stats that you've not heard, but the divorce rate is about 50-50. Like, yeah, just flip a quarter. You're either going to make it or not, right? In fact, it's a tad over 50% that it's going to fail. And here's the sad, sad part, that the ratio and the percentage, those stats are exactly the same in the church. Something's wrong with that. Because if anybody should have a grip and an understanding on what love and relationship looks like, shouldn't it be the people that love God? Yeah, I think so. But here's what I understand, that we're real people, right? Like, we live in a real world where we have real influences and real jobs and real bills and real challenges and real life faces us. Like, us being Christians doesn't make us like we're in this globe where that doesn't, you know, doesn't affect us. Real life affects us too. And I just believe that Satan is doing anything and everything he can possibly do to just destroy our marriages. I think he wants them to fall apart. I think he wants them in ruins. I think he wants the world to see that the church can't figure it out either, because he would hate for the world to go to the church for answers. And I would just love if Church on the Rock was different, right? I mean, I can't lead the whole big church, and thank God for it. We wouldn't be very good, but God called me to lead this one, and my passion and my heart is that we would have these great examples of love and marriage and relationship within our church, so that people would say, well, man, maybe I can go there for answers. I mean, I need to go find out, what does God's word say about love and relationship? So I want to dig in with you, and I want to start here in the book of Genesis. I think that Genesis is one of the coolest books. The creation story, actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I think it's very prophetic, meaning it speaks of things to come. And I think that this creation story has so much implication and such a picture of really Jesus coming and really his plan for all mankind is kind of depicted a little bit, if you will, in this story. But I'm going to start here in the verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2. It's actually one of my favorite verses in the Bible, ironically enough, because the Bible says that God said, it's not good for man to be alone, which is interesting, because in the very beginning of the story of the Bible, we have, you guys can see this okay right there? All right, cool. We have this story of God creating everything, right? He created the heavens, he created the earth, he created this, he created that. And over and over and over through the very first chapter and a half or so of the New Testament, we see his the power of his word and him speaking. The Holy Spirit is mentioned hovering, the Bible says, over the waters, which is really fun and cool. There's just so much picture of his plan for life. But as he continues to speak, things continue to develop. And the Bible repeats itself over and over by saying, it was good. Like, he created this and it was good, and he created this and it was good, and he created this and it was good. And then all of a sudden we hit the 18th verse of the second chapter and God says, uh-oh, that's not good. Which is interesting, because it's the first time we see not good even mentioned in the Bible. And the thing that he says is not good is for us to be alone. And I'm passionate about relationships. If you've been here for a week or more, you hear me talk about relationships. It's why we do life groups at Church on the Rock. It's why I believe church matters. It's why I believe every good relationship needs attention and effort and intentionality. We've got to pour ourselves in to the relationships that matter. Even the healthiest of them need work because of this. This is why that I'm so passionate about God's house and the body of Christ, because we can't do it alone. None of us can do it alone. And he says that right out of the gate. It's not good that man will be alone, and I'll make a helper who is just right for him. I think the language is fun from this translation, but a helper. And again, I think kind of prophetically speaking of the Holy Spirit and how he is our helper and how he works in our lives. But he's very specifically speaking about another human being in this case. I got to make somebody that's better for him. And then you see my dot, dot right here, right? The dot, dot. That means we skipped a portion of scripture and we're going to jump ahead. But in this dot, dot, if you will, what's going on is the Bible says that God created animals and beasts and fish and all this other stuff. And then Adam had the opportunity to name them all. And that's all we're missing. But it wasn't enough. That compatible helper wasn't ever there. Like, as awesome as the white-tailed buck is, everybody, it wasn't enough. Amen. All right, so the Bible says, the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, he said. And then the Bible says that while he was asleep, the Lord took out one of his ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from that rib, and he brought her to the man, right? So we're seeing for the first time this man-woman relationship. At last, Adam says, he says, this one is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because he was taken from man. And you should thank me that I didn't use the corny preacher, whoa, man joke. Like, whoa, man. Anyway, this explains, but I sort of did. All right, this explains why a man, and here's where I really want to focus on. This is the foundation that's going to launch us out into the series. This is why a man would leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. The two will become one. And I love that, that there is this process that takes place in this relationship. It doesn't say that they are one. It doesn't say instantly they become one. It says that they, or that they're made one. It says that they become one over the course of time. There is this process that has to take place. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if you've been in any kind of romance relationship ever in your life, you would probably agree that, yeah, it takes a little time to figure some things out. This is why we date a little bit, to make sure, like, can I stand the way he eats in front of me, or is that just not going to work? Or, you know, like, are her feet too big? Like, whatever. I don't know what it is, but, you know, we go through this process, or she just talks too much. I can't, there's no way I could spend my life with this woman, right? We go through this process of screening in our dating type relationships to get to a place of marriage where we decide, like, okay, this is the one that I'm going to spend my life with. And even when we get to the place where we've decided, all right, I'm going to spend my life with this one, it doesn't just make it all better, right? Because we dream of that wedding, don't we? Ladies, we dream about it, and it's going to be so good, and I just can't wait. And guys, we dream of other stuff, right? Oh, it's going to be so good, and I can't wait. Just let your imagination go for a minute. There you go. But here's the thing, like, that can't be what it stands on. The wedding isn't what it stands on. The intercourse is not what it stands on. It's got to be built on a foundation of a loving relationship. It is a process. So for some of you, this will be a review for you, what I'm about to discuss. And then for others of you, it might be brand new material. But last year, we did a love series, and we called it Become One, right? The two become one, we called it. And we were talking about this process of love and how it doesn't just happen. You actually have to work on this thing or whatever. And here's what I want to kind of clarify out of the gate, is that many of us, just in the way we think and our culture and the world that we live in today, we have a project mindset. And here's what I mean by that. We love projects, don't we? I love projects. I love when I have a project and I get to step away from that project and say, there it is. It's done. And it doesn't matter. You don't even have to be like an artist to understand the project concept, but some of you are, and there's nothing like when you paint on the canvas or you sculpt or whatever you put together and you step back and say, oh, there's the product. Like, my project is finished. Or maybe it's every spring you can't wait to get in the garden. It's like, man, the winter took its toll on my flowers, but I'm gonna freshen up the mulch and I'm gonna plant those new ones and I'm gonna change the border. I'm gonna make me a kidney-shaped bed in the front yard this year. I'm doing it different, right? Or whatever it is. Like, I'm going to do my thing. And there's just nothing like when we step back and say, there it is. That's my project. For some of you, it's the hot rod. It's tweaking that engine under the hood or whatever the case may be. There's nothing better than the reward of feeling the win of finishing a project. It just feels good. Man, when I'm done with my job, project complete or whatever it may be. But here's the problem. Too many people go into their relationships with project thinking. Relationships are not projects. They're a process. A process is something that never really ends. It sort of goes and goes and goes. Wouldn't you agree? Like, as much as I want to get to that place where it's like, whew, done, it's really just a process. Our spiritual lives walking with God is a process. There's really never an arrival place, is there, where it's like, here I go. I got it all figured out. I've got everything conquered. I'm good to go. The only place you can ever understand that kind of mindset is called heaven, everybody. But the rest of our time here on earth, we are living this thing out in a process. And for many of us, we've set our mindset wrong. And then we're frustrated because we thought that once we said, I do, and we went to that honeymoon, that we had finished our project when really we had just started a process. And what we have to do is understand that, man, this thing is going to ebb and flow and change. There are seasons of life. There are different times where we might be single to, you know, it's like it's us. It's us in the little apartment and, you know, her job and my job, and we go do our thing. Woo! And then all of a sudden she says, we're having a baby. And then all of a sudden everything shifts and everything changes and the process changes. And then you're fighting to be a successful parent and fighting to raise that child the way you want it to go and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, however, you know, if you have your perfect little, you know, boy and a girl, and now you move from the apartment to the house and the picket fence, and now you gotta have a dog, right? And you understand, seasons change, and then all of a sudden they grow up and they move, they're off to college and they're out of the house, and now you're empty nesters, and you just spent the last 18, 20 years, if you're raising a millennial, 30 years, you know, trying to, just playing. just a little shot. You just spent all this time trying to raise them up to maturity and get them out of the house, and now all of a sudden you're empty nesters and the whole dynamic changes. You're in a whole new season. Like, the project didn't end. The process just continues. Come on, everybody. So what we're going to do this month is we're gonna talk about some vows. We're calling this the vow, and we're going to go through. I want to give you four vows that we're going to commit to this month. Each week, just like last month, if you were with us, I'm going to give you a new vow every week, but I'm going to go ahead and kind of prelim and promo them. This week, we're gonna start here, the vow of priority. We're gonna learn to prioritize things God's way so that our relationship can be successful. Because if the priority's wrong, nothing works, right? The second week, we're gonna look at the vow of pursuit. How do I continue to pursue my spouse after I have them? This is a problem that has wrecked a lot of marriages. Is, man, like, I'm done. We said I do. This is how I am. And then we stop our process, and then all of a sudden we start running into problems. We work so hard to get her. Oh my gosh, we would do anything to just wow her and make her think we're the most special guy ever. And then when we get them, the pursuit stops. Can't happen. Pretty excited because my wife's going to teach with me next week. We're going to talk about this with you very specifically. Then week number three, we're going to talk about the vow of partnership. The vow of partnership. Like, what does the Bible say about a husband and a wife and the way that they would live together under, we're going to talk about some words, like, don't let them scare you, but words like covenant and contract. We're going to look at the difference in those two things, that marriage is not a contract, it is a covenant. We're going to look at words like leadership and submission. Ooh, come back and find out what that says. But the Bible talks about this stuff, everybody, all right? And then finally, week number four of February, we're gonna end it with the vow of purity. We're gonna talk about how to maintain the purity of our relationships, the purity of our own lives, the purity of our marriages together. We're gonna dig very deep to get into this process. But here's what I wanna talk about for the next few moments, is this, that we have... particularly, I think, again, in American culture, we have this big idea that I'm looking to find, how many of you ever said it? I can't wait until I find the one, right? That right one. How many of you guys have ever said it? Can't wait, Can't wait. For some of you guys, you got to go way back, right? Yeah, this is way back then. For some of you guys, you're thinking it right now. Can't wait. By the way, how many are married in the room? Can I see your hands? Married? Married in the house? Okay, good, good. How many singles in the room? Singles, not married. Not married. Hold your hands up for a moment. Hold them up. Hold them up. Look around, everybody. Just look. Just look. Give you an opportunity. All right, good, 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 right, right? All right, and we get this idea sometimes, don't we, that man, I just wanna find that one special person that's gonna make my life complete, gonna make my life perfect, everything's gonna be awesome when I meet that one person, that right and special one. And a couple things, I'm gonna give you some opinion here, okay? Out of the gate, just my opinion. I don't believe in that. I don't think that God has this one mysterious person and, oh man, if you mess up and choose the wrong one, you've wrecked and ruined your whole life. I see where the Bible says for a man to choose his wife. I think that we don't have to win the lottery to find that perfect relationship that we don't have to work on. I think we choose to commit to a loving relationship and we fight to make it work. That is my opinion, okay? But that whole lottery thing, that what if I choose the wrong one? What if I say yes to him and I should have said yes to him a year later? Like, no. I think once you decide to say yes, you've walked into a covenant relationship between that person and God, and you're committed to it, to the finish line. Amen. Okay. So, and again, I always like to tell you my opinions because I don't want to ever preach from opinion, but I will share them with you. But I also think that our mindset is wrong when we say, I want to find that special one. I want you to write this down with me. I want you to write this down with me because we're talking about today the vow of priority. So number one, write this down, that God must be my first priority. If we are looking for the one, he is God. If we are looking for that right, special, perfect one, we can only access him through his son, Jesus Christ. God must be my first priority. Listen to me, he is your one. And the interesting thing about God is this, that he will only take one place in your life, and that is first place. If ever we say, like, God's a part of my life, he's in there somewhere, but he's not necessarily the highest priority, we are fooling ourselves. Because the God of this age, the one true living God, he only can take one place, and that is first place. This is why even in our relationship with him, there must be the cultivation of that relationship. I don't know about you, but I know about me, that I constantly have to fight to keep him as my one. Because there's so much distraction and there's so many things that want to take first place in my life. And it depends on certain seasons that I might be in or places that I might be in. And I constantly have to battle within myself to say, God, you are my highest priority. I will pursue you above all else. I will make you more important than any friendship, than any job, than any hobby, than anything. God, I have to make sure that you stay number one in my life. And I just, from my own perspective, it's a battle, everybody, because there's so much coming at us all the time. Let me support this point with God's word. The Bible says, I'm probably not gonna shock you with a bunch of scripture you've never heard, but Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, above everything else, above finding that special, right one. You're not looking for your one. You're looking for God. He's got to be the high priority. And notice what the Bible says when we do it, that if we will seek him first above all else and live righteously, he will give you everything you need. Some translations say, all these other things are added unto you. Seek first the kingdom and all these other things, then they're added. That God has to be number one in my life. Next scripture for me, it's all right there in your notes. Matthew 27:33-39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the, which one? The very first and greatest commandment. The second is important or most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. I'm gonna make a bold statement here. You got a little note section if you wanna write this down, but it is very, very difficult to live a life of righteousness built on a foundation of sin. It's very difficult to live a life of righteousness built on a foundation of sin. And here's what I want to say boldly, that if God is not very first in my heart, my foundation is sinful. If I'm calling myself a Christian, I've committed my life to Jesus Christ. Father, I need you to save me. I received the gift of salvation. I want to walk in truth and hope and love with you. I want to be adopted into the bloodline of Jesus and sit at the table of the Most High King. If he does not maintain first priority in my life, then my foundation's completely unstable. And I know that people don't like the word sin, but you know something? When we get things out of God's order, it is sinful. It is. And here's the beauty of it. That no matter how much we jack it up, God can always fix it up, every time. His grace is sufficient, his mercy endures. He's there for us every time. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if I'll just confess my sins to the Lord, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I can't tell you how many times I've memorized that chapter verse and every word because I use it way more often than I would like to admit. But there are times that I say, God, here I am again. Priority got out of order, made a poor decision, parented incorrectly, said something to my wife I shouldn't have said, cut that dude off in traffic because he can't drive as good as me, whatever it might be, right? That I've had to say, I've got to lean, Father, on 1 John 1:9. I need you to forgive me and cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Father, I've got to get you back in the first place. I can't let my pride, my ego, my selfishness, my passions, my interests, nothing can take that place. Father, you must be first. And the Bible says that we should love others secondly. And it's very important, which leads me to point number two. I want you to write down this, that my spouse must be my second priority. If you are married in this room, this has to be true. So you singles in this room, you're not searching for the perfect one, you're searching for your two. And if you're married in this room, this has to be priority number two. It can't be any other way and you be successful. Because God has an order to things, and when we do it God's way, it works. And here's the problem. Can I preach a minute? Okay? Here's the problem with a lot of people. And if the shoe fits, you wear it. But here's the problem. Many, many people don't have one or two in the right order. Works become one. Hobbies have become two. Children have elevated to higher places. We've got the foundation built wrong and wonder why our relationships are struggling. We've got our priorities out of God's order, where God should be my one and my spouse should always be my two. Always. When I've made that covenant relationship, I've got to maintain priority. And for me in my home, Lauren has to be second to the Father. She must be second to the Father. This is why, by the way, every day when I pray, every day, I spend time thanking God. I love to just start worshipfully, and I like to the Lord's Prayer sort of motto, God, I just adore your name. I like to spend time doing that. And the very next thing I do is I start praying for my wife. She's the first person I pray for every day. And there's a reason. Because she matters most to me besides any other relationship in my whole life other than God. If he's gonna be first, I have to make sure that she is number two, because it's God's order. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because the Bible uses this incredible picture when it describes the relationship that Jesus Christ has with you. They point to the marriage. Jesus is defined biblically. He's described as a bridegroom, and the church, that's us, is described as the bride. And they talk about this romance and this relationship, this love that he has for his bride. And when we allow that priority to get out of order in our individual lives, then we have been counterproductive to his plan. It doesn't build the stable foundation. In fact, I think every other relationship in your life will suffer if this one's not in the right place. Eventually, let's look at what God's word says. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife has found what's good. And some of y'all don't believe that. You might need to memorize this verse. I'm serious. Like I might mean, you know, say it a little funny, but I'm serious. And the Bible says that you receive favor from the Lord. Like when you found a wife, the Bible says you have found a good thing. This is a positive thing. Even Paul's described in the New Testament. He said, look, I don't have the distraction of being in a relationship. I don't have this other side to me. I get to lean my entire focus and energy into serving God and serving the church. But then he says, but listen, if it's too much of a distraction for you, go get married. Like go get into a covenant relationship so that you don't have that distraction and that draw from the world. And the Bible says that when we receive our spouses, it's a good thing. Dudes, I looked all over the Bible this week for a verse that told the women how awesome we are. There are none. Like none. I'm like, God, what's up? Anyway, yeah. Hebrews, check out. It's so true. I searched hard. The Bible says that marriage should be honored by all, by everybody. This is something that God looks at and says, I love this. I love this relationship. I love this partnership. I love this life that is lived together. I love the intimacy that is shared. I love how personal that it is. When God looks at our marriages, he sees a picture of the way that he saved us through Jesus Christ. That close, quiet, personal, intimate place that like we know things. Lauren and I just celebrated 16 years married last month, and we kind of had described like we've spent more, and we've dated a couple years before that, we've spent more of our lives together now than we did apart from one another before. And it's interesting how I continue to learn more things. We walk through different seasons. We experience different journeys. But there are things, if anybody could unload dirt on me, she would be the one. Why? Because it's the most personal, intimate relationship that I possess. And this is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you, where it's intimate and personal and known, that there are things that, man, there is a quiet place. I go into the Bible describes this secret place, the prayer closet. There should be a place in our relationship with the Father that is personal and intimate that only we have together, just like there are places that only you and your spouse have together, amen. And once we have that in the right order, then our next point of attention should always be who we've committed our lives to in covenant relationship. Amen. So I can't allow the kids to be more important than the husband, ladies. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because your children are a temporary assignment. Your marriage is a lifetime commitment. So I have to keep it in order. Sir, listen to me. The job can't be your number one place of focus. It cannot elevate above her. And look, if it's pulling you away from her, make some changes. Yeah, but they'll repossess my car. Then lose some stuff, but don't lose her. Because God can bless the foundation if you build it appropriately. God, you are first. The spouse is always second. And then everything else comes after that. Amen. Amen. Final point, we're in the descent, everybody. We're gonna land this plane right here. Number three, I want to encourage you this, that you must, and you say this like a vow, I must protect my priorities. I have to. This right here is the hard part. This is the hard part. Protecting the priorities is what's difficult because the world wants to draw you away from those relationships. The world wants to tear down the health of those relationships, both you and the Father and you and your spouse. The world wants to do anything and everything it can do to separate. So I've got to do something about it. I've got to protect it. I've got to have conversations. I've got to have dates. I've got to have some fun. I've got to have some intentionality. I've got to make sure that I'm doing my part to protect the relationship. And that's why the rest of this month, we're going to walk through and look at what some of that looks like. Lauren and I are going to talk very candidly with you next week about how we pursue each other and how we have to learn each other and understand what each other needs. And I cannot tell you how open and continuous a conversation this has to be. And I hope that next week when we share with you that it helps you. We'll talk about some of the ways that we work through trouble and frustrations and some of the ways that we keep things alive and healthy and some of the ways that maintain and protect the priorities. Because this is where all the rubber hits the road, if you will. And it gets, like, now we're talking about life. Because I can say, we'll make God first. And you know what you're going to say? Well, duh, preacher, right? And make sure you value your spouse. Well, you're not really helping me. But here's where it comes. I've got to protect it. And if there's tension and if there's separation in either of those relationships, you know what? If my priorities are out of order, I've got to do something about it. I'm responsible for me. I've got to take care of what I can take care of, and I've got to do something to fix it. Get God back to the first place. Get your spouse back to the second place. Mark chapter 10 and verse 6 through 9, interesting because Genesis is being quoted here. It says, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh, right? We just talked about that. So they are no longer two, but one. And you see this thing start to take place that, man, they're becoming one together. Therefore, and this is what I wanted to highlight, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Nobody. Not the flirtatious relationship at the office. Not the internet with all the videos and the links. All right? Not the affirmation from him because he listens when you talk, but he's not your husband. Okay? Listen, not you. Don't let anyone separate it. I've got to protect it. Men, can I talk to you for a second? We're protectors, aren't we? I mean, it's kind of built in us. How many of you, if someone broke into your home, wouldn't do everything you had to do to protect your family? Some of you guys got nunchucks and baseball bats and pistols hidden in areas of your room, and good for you. Because if anybody breaks in that house, I think as men, there should be a commitment that if you have to kill me, you'll have to kill me to get to them. It's in our nature to protect. God wired us to be protectors. It's who we are. But men, we've got to step back to a spiritual element and understand there's a fight on our hands. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm only going to talk to men for a minute. I'm telling you right now, if you don't treat her good, somebody else will. Somebody else will do it. If you don't take the time to love on her and make her feel special, somebody else is going to do it. Man, I've got to protect the relationship. I've got to make sure that I keep things in order. I've got to make sure that when the world is coming at me, I am fighting against everything that would deteriorate the priority of my life. God, you must be first. I've got to fight to protect that priority. You've got to be my one. And then I've got to fight to protect my two. It has to happen. It has to happen. Here's the vow. I'm going to give you a vow. And every week I'm going to give you a new one. If you're married, this is the vow that I want you to make. That I vow to make God my one and my spouse my two. For some of you, this is going to be the hardest fight of your life right here. Because your priorities are out of order. But God is speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit is starting to move inside of you that, man, you got to get it right. Make me first. Make that spouse second. Put them in the place that they deserve to be. But pastor, it's broken. Then listen to me, then fix it. If you are lazy, you'll make an excuse. If you love, you will make a way. I'm not gonna stand up here and act like I don't understand if there's trouble or there's tension or maybe things have been bad for, like, I get it, man. And I understand how difficult that it can be. But listen, if you love, you'll make a way. Let me tell you something, fight for it. We've got to get to a place where we stop fighting with our spouses and we start fighting for them. Defend them. That I have your back. That I will love you. I know that we haven't been talking, and I know that things haven't been good, and I know that you're angry with me about mistakes, and I understand that I don't always do things right, but you know what? I'm gonna make some changes. I'm gonna seek God's face, And I'm gonna change the number one priority of my heart, because the closer I get to God's heart, the more I tend to look and live and think and love like him anyway. So God, I'm just gonna chase the heart of God, and I'm gonna prayerfully seek, Father, how can I love my wife better? What can I do to fix the brokenness or fix the tension? What is it that I've got to do? We've gotta be protectors. If you're married, your vow is to make God your one and your spouse your two. In fact, married couples, will you say it with me? I want you to declare the vow. Will you say this? Say it with me. I vow to make God my one and my spouse my two. All right, now I understand that not everybody in this room is married. Some of you are single, so I have a vow for you, and you'll have to write this one just in your notes section. But if you're single, I want you to say this, that I vow to seek the one while preparing for my two. Chase God's heart. Stop thinking that there's a Mr. Right or there's a Miss Perfect out there. Stop it. Stop. Stop. Don't be distracted. Just seek the one. Get your heart near God's heart while you prepare yourself for your two. I'll close with this story. There was a college girl, and she was talking to her mom on the phone. But the problem was that this college girl who had grown up in church and had a real relationship with God, when she went off into college, she started to lose her bearings, and she stopped protecting priorities, and she was a partier, and she would just do anything, everything that she could do to experience the college life to its fullness. And then here she is in a class, and there's this guy that keeps coming in there and has the class with her, and she's on the phone with her mom, and she's saying to her mom, Mom, this man, he's amazing. I found out that he's a Christian, and he doesn't do a lot of the party scene stuff. Like, it's just not his thing. And he's so respectful and courteous, and he's so amazing. And the mom, in her love, speaks back and says, honey, that sounds great. The problem is that man's not looking for a girl like you. And that's a little heavy, but thank God mom loved her enough to say the truth. Listen, singles, seek the one, prepare for the two. Be the type of person you're looking for is looking for. Be the type of person that you're looking for is looking for. And chase God's heart. Can I tell you the most attractive thing in all the world? You ready? I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. The most attractive thing in all the world is a heart that chases God's. People love it. Sir, if you humble yourself and chase God's heart, your wife will, her mindset will change about you, because it's attractive. You wanna know why it's attractive? Because we're wired that way. God put it in the inside of us. We're not complete without him. So when we chase what makes us complete and fulfilled, people around us go, gosh, I want that. Is it about that? Is it? What makes you so happy and joyful? And I don't even understand. Like, you actually like your wife. Tell me. What? Right? Yeah. And man, I think we should be the examples of that. That yes, man, my marriage is awesome. It's good. Let me help you make yours awesome and good. Got to get the priorities in order.
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.